Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to today's episode where we are going to try and figure out how to build wealth using a tried and tested roadmap. So we've invited a special guest who's going to walk us through his lived experience on what's worked in the past. And if you stick around until the end, we're also going to share his top two investment hacks, and they're the ones that nobody really talks about. So please join me in welcoming Ben Nash, financial advisor and founder of Pivot Wealth, and author of a new book called Virgin Millionaire, The Step-by-Step Guide to Your First Million and Beyond. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here, Michelle.
Now, Ben, I think I've known you for like the better part of the last decade. Really love the work that you're doing in social media and the education that you're putting out there. So I'm so happy that you've got this book out that gives us a step-by-step guide. So let's get straight into it. Can you tell us, what is the genesis behind this book and what can your, you know, people who buy this book can expect from it?
Thanks, Michelle. Well, the Virgin Millionaire book actually came about as a result of some of the work that I've been doing with clients for the last decade and a bit, where we sort of knew that there were things to focus on and things to avoid when it came to trying to get ahead and get the maximum results in the minimum amount of time. But I hadn't really codified the thinking around what made the biggest difference. And so I started working on this for our clients and came to realize that there's actually five key stages that people go through with their money. That ultimately what most people are working towards is complete financial independence, where it's like you've got enough money so that you're then working out of choice as opposed to necessity. You got heaps of cash, you got heaps of investments, and you basically have enough money to live your ideal lifestyle. But we also know that that's not where people start. Everyone starts at the start. They start by at what we call the foundation stage, where it's like you're putting the building blocks in place that are going to set you up for that future success. And then there's the next stage is the focus stage. And then we've got optimize, accelerate up to the what we call the impact stage, which is that you've arrived at financial freedom. And one of the key concepts is that there's always a lot of things that you can do with your money. And I think that people find this quite confusing because everyone's got all these opinions and ideas and, you know, you should buy property or buy shares or super's great or super's not so great or whatever. But the reality is that what dictates whether something's actually a good idea for you or not depends on the stage that you're at. And what that means is that depending on where you are, there are certain things that you can do that are going to move the dial on your money a lot more than others. And there's probably one or two things that if you do them at the wrong time, then it can really slow you down or hold you back. So Virgin Millionaire is all about codifying those five stages and talking about what the things are that you should be focused on at each of the stages to essentially complete that stage and move on to the next one towards the ultimate goal of creating complete financial independence and security.
Right. I mean, you had me at those three little words, heaps of cash. If only, you know, you can say that out like, oh, yes, I've got heaps of cash. It's like, oh, yeah. What did you do? Tell me what you're doing.
Exactly.
And just to understand this correctly, what strikes me as very different about your book is that you are challenging the notion of the different steps that you need to go through to build wealth, i.e. for a lot of us, it truly is buying your first home, you know, buying your own home, for example. And so that's not what you're saying in this book. So tell us, what are the key steps that people should like follow or maybe think about in order to get their first million out of, you know, if they have their own home?
Realistically, there's only a handful of things that you can do when it comes to building your wealth. You can save money in cash, pay down debt. You can buy shares or manage funds or ETFs. I put them all in the same bucket. You can buy a property or you can crank up your superannuation or retirement fund. It's the same five options available to every single person in the country and pretty much every single person around the world. Now, the first two things that I mentioned, save money in cash and pay down debt, they're two important things to do, but they're also things that are never going to really get you rich. So if you want to actually build your investments, build your wealth, get to that first million and beyond, you need to be looking at either investing in share type investments, investing with property, or investing in your super. That being said, if you're just getting started, your superannuation, and while superannuation is great from a tax perspective and it's really important, it's probably not where you're going to want to start because your money that you put into super needs to stay there until you're at retirement age. And most people have got personal goals that they're going to need money for outside of super. And so you're tossing up between shares and property. And realistically, if you're just getting started, property is probably off the table because you need to have a big deposit and then you need more cash flow as well. And so the starting point for most people when it comes to investing is share type investments. Now, the really good thing these days is that there are a bunch of different investment apps and investment accounts and different platforms that make investing really accessible. A lot of them allow you to get started investing with as little as $5, and some of them it's even less than that. So I think that sometimes people fall into the trap of thinking that you need to have thousands or tens of thousands of dollars in order to get started investing, but that is absolutely not the case. And what a typical journey looks like for a lot of people, or what a smart journey looks like, is to get started investing, build a bit of initial momentum, leveraging the power of compound interest until you get that money actually growing or grown to a point where you can then start looking at getting into the property market and taking that next big step. That ends up being a real accelerator when it comes to your investing and asset building when you get it right. Because when you buy a property, you're typically combining your savings with the bank's money and then ending up with an investment that's a lot bigger than what you could get with just your savings alone. And so I love shares and ETFs and managed funds and those sorts of investments. But if you're buying a property that's worth $500,000 compared to investing $100,000 into a share portfolio, so long as you're choosing, you know, comparing good property against good shares, the property is going to win over the long term every day of the week.
Now, let's go back to what you just said earlier. We're not really talking about super because that's like a long way away. So you got property and shares. So to recap, you're saying invest in shares first because yes, very hard to stump up the whatever it is, $100,000 deposit for property. So nowhere in this conversation did you say buy your own home first. Am I hearing that right? Because that is like the fundamental thing that people do first once they've got the money to set aside.
Yes. Well, it is the Australian dream. And I get the emotional pull of buying your own home and having your own space. And I think that there's a bit of sort of mindset or generational mindset that can sometimes be passed through generations around some of these areas. But the numbers don't lie around this, that it is more expensive to buy a property as your own home compared to buying a property as an investment property and then renting the house that you live in. On a $1 million property, for example, it's for most people, if you're earning above $45,000 a year, you're about $15,000 better off by buying a property as an investment and then paying rent on an identical property than you are from buying your own home. And the reason that that is the case is because when you buy an investment property, all of the interest costs are tax deductible, as well as the council rates, the insurances, basically all of the costs that relate to that property. And look, whether it's right or wrong, and I know it's something that goes into the media a bit at the moment, that's a whole nother conversation. But the rules are the rules and the numbers are the numbers. And so particularly today, because we've got this cost of living crisis and a lot of people aren't making the progress that they want getting ahead. Some of people are struggling to keep up. And most people don't actually realize that they've got a clear lever here that if you don't have as much money as you would like to for investing and you're not making the progress that you want, then you want to be using every rule to your advantage. And because it is more expensive to buy a property as your own home versus as an investment, my question would sort of be that why would you do it that way if you know that you're going to be better off another way and you're still already not making exactly enough progress that you want? And this is the thing about these stages with the Virgin Millionaire pathway that you follow, that at some point, you should buy your own home. But you want to do that at a time when you can afford to not only just keep up with your mortgage payments, but also pay your mortgage on your home down. And at the same time, and it's an important and, that you can invest enough money to make the progress that you want, building your wealth outside of your own home. Because while it's lovely to have a nice roof over your head, your home is not anything that makes you any money until you sell it. And assuming that you always need somewhere to live, you're probably not going to cash out from your own home. So it's really your investment wealth through investment properties, share portfolios, and your superannuation is part of this as well. That's where your real wealth actually sits.
So Ben, what's worked for your clients and something that you've seen accelerate that wealth building process quite quickly is the investing in shares. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, it's the power of compound interest and markets that make the biggest difference. And when you're investing, particularly if you're using funds that are closely tracking the market, like I'm a big believer in index funds, I talk about that quite a lot through the book. It's not a matter of if you'll become a millionaire, it's simply a matter of when. And that's really a function of how early you get started and how consistent you are over time. And so I just looked at an example for you to build $1 million by the time you reach age 60, that if you start when you're 20 years old, you only need to be saving and investing about $5.50 a day. If you wait until you're 30, it's about $15 a day. If you wait until you're 40, it's about $45 a day. And if you wait until you're 50, it's $161 a day. And so $5.50 a day, that's something that's pretty achievable for most people. That's sort of like the cost of a cup of coffee. Maybe $15 a day, it's probably doable. That's like lunch, maybe. $40 a day, though, that's starting to get quite expensive. And $160 a day, like most people don't earn that, let alone have the ability to save that amount of money. And so it's simply a matter of getting started and just keeping consistent over time. As I touched on at the start, the investment apps and the technology these days make it so easy to set up an automatic investment plan. And so it's as simple as setting your investment strategy, choosing the product that you're going to use, and then automating it so that it all just happens without you having to think about it. And that's what I talk about through the Virgin Millionaire book, where I have this concept of systemizing your success, because a lot of people think that you should be setting goals with your money, and goals are really important. Don't get me wrong, but James Clear has this great quote in his book, Atomic Habits, which has stuck with me, that says, you don't rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. And so that to me says that you need to try and systemize as much as you can when it comes to your money so that you get the results, your saving system, your investing system, your debt repayment system, your super contribution system, like all your planning system as well. If you can do that, you're going to go a long way to getting better results.
Now, everyone's personal situation is different, but just generally speaking, if someone listening right now is thinking, yes, I want to invest in shares, how do you go about it?
Well, the first big decision that you need to make is the investment approach that you're going to follow. And the two main schools of thought with this are, do you want to invest into passive funds or index funds that just track the market? Or the alternative is using actively managed investments. And look, I will just say that there's a lot of different ways to be right when it comes to your money. I'm a financial advisor. There's about 15,000 financial advisors in the country. If you asked all 15,000 advisors, you'd probably get quite a lot of different responses. But the thing is that the statistics show that passive index fund investments perform better than active investments more than 80% of the time. And so that means that particularly if you don't know heaps about investing right now and you're looking to just get started investing, if you do, and obviously this is not financial advice and you should go and seek that out, but if you were to follow an index fund investing approach, the statistics are saying that more than 8 out of 10 times you're going to be better off than following any other approach. And an index fund that just tracks the market and invests a tiny little bit into every single company in the country, that's a bit easier to understand and it's a bit easier to have confidence in than someone where you've got an investment manager or some algorithm or something picking stocks that they think are going to be best. And so you need to choose though, whatever way you want to go, do you want to invest in passive index funds or do you want to invest in active funds? And once you've made that choice, you can then start looking at which investment accounts will give me access to those investments. And that starts to narrow down the list. Then you can narrow that down further by one of the most important criteria that I think when it comes to choosing an investment account is, does it have the ability for you to automate your investments with the amount that you want and in the frequency that you want? And that's why I'm a huge fan of these investing apps, particularly for people that are just getting started, because you can literally, if you want to make your investments weekly on a Tuesday because you get paid on Tuesday, then you can do that. It's not like you have to do a minimum amount and it has to be, you know, done on whatever day and you got to send a letter in the post or anything like that. You can literally just link it all up to your bank accounts, a few swipes of your thumb on your smartphone, and it's all just happening.
You make it sound so easy, but at the same time, yes, technology has made it easier to automate investments. It's just a whole new world these days. So now we want to talk about your top two investment hacks. So what are the things that you think our listeners can kind of execute now or implement now to accelerate their wealth building?
Well, the first one I would say is around being smart with your tax and tax planning. Basically, if you're aiming to be financially free, over time, what that really means is that you're going to replace your employment salary with investment income. Because that way you've got enough income so that you're then able to stop working if you want to or be in a position where you're working out of choice as opposed to necessity. Now, that means that for most people, they're going to build investment income of tens of thousands of dollars, probably $100,000 or more each year. And commonly people are doing that while they're working because that's the only way that they can get the money to save and invest in the first place. And so being smart with the tax strategies that you do, how you structure those investments from a tax perspective can save you a serious amount of tax each year. And if you're talking about tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars of income, that makes a big, big difference to how quickly your investments grow. Because if you own investments yourself, you just open up an investment account and you own it in your name, basically all of the investment income and all of the capital gains on those investments over the years ahead, they all get added to your taxable income and taxed at your marginal tax rate. But you don't need to own your investments. You can own investments in joint names with your partner, perhaps in your partner's name if they're on a lower income and have a lower tax rate. Or you can own the investments through a tax entity or tax structure like a family trust, through a company, through an investment bond, or through your superannuation fund. And each of those different tax entities are going to have different benefits and different trade-offs and downsides, but different tax rates that apply. And if you understand those different entities or understand them enough and then get some advice around them, that you can often save like literally tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax over the course of your investment accumulation journey. And that means that you've got more money that you can save to reinvest to grow your investments faster, or just use to fund your lifestyle. So I'd say that tax is the big one and the first one that comes to mind. The second piece is around a couple of the things that we've touched on already, specifically using leverage to invest. And that is using the bank's money to invest more than you can with just your savings alone. When you do that, it's often an accelerator. Although it is really, really important that you manage your risk anytime that you are borrowing. Because anytime you borrow money, there is some cash flow risk. We've just been through the fastest interest rate tightening cycle in a generation.
Yes.
And so through that interest rate tightening cycle, there are a lot of people that ended up under more pressure than they definitely were expecting or wanted to be in. And so if you are thinking about using leverage or debt in your strategy, it's really, really important that you've got a solid risk management plan in place to back that up and make sure that you're not overexposed.
Well, Ben, that's all we have time for. But once again, thank you for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks, Michelle.
As always, you can send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover through our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And pick up your copy of Virgin Millionaire. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.